Welcome to Suffolk Matters, where all of Suffolk County meets the men and women of Suffolk AME. News, opinions, and insights you won't hear anywhere else. Here's your host, the president of New York's largest independent union, Suffolk AME's Dan Levler.
Welcome to another edition of Suffolk Matters on Walk 97.5 and 94.3 The Shark, where Suffolk County meets the men and women of Suffolk AME. News and views you can't hear anywhere else.
So before we start the program, we just wanted to start with a clip of Suffolk AME's endorsed county executive candidate, Ed Romaine.
The county has a problem hiring employees to staff agencies, and a large reason has to do with low salaries. What is your plan to address this?
Retaining employees and getting new employees is critical. Paying competitive wages is critical. That's a subject for negotiations. And I see Dan Levler and some of his team in the front there. They're some of the best negotiators out there. And I know we'll be having a lot of discussions because this is a year, 2024, where every county contract is up. And we're going to have to talk about that and talk about having adequate wages. I'm concerned because we want the best and the brightest in our county government. And to do that, we have to be competitive with the private sector. We also live in a strange time. 2, 3, 4 years ago, inflation was 1-2%. Now it's 6-8%. People can't afford to take jobs. I'll give you a perfect example. One of the things I'm a great believer in is we have to redevelop parts of Long Island. We maybe not need new development, but we have to redevelop. One of the big redevelopments of my town was the Sears at Smith Haven Mall. That became a redevelopment for Stony Brook Hospital. And essentially, if you go into that building, it's a hospital without beds. You can get every type of diagnostic test known to God. They did a marvelous job. And I was talking with the president of the hospital, and he said, you know, Ed, we can get people to come. They look at the salary. Other parts of the country, it looks real great. They get here. Then they find out what the cost of living is, what the price of a house is. And they say, wow, we've got to be more inventive. You know what I said to them? I said, I'll tell you what, the Penny's is vacant. I'll convert that to housing. I'll convert that to housing for your hospital staff, for your nurses, for your orderlies, so they have a place to live that's affordable and near their workplace. And in the middle of a mall, so they can shop when they have free time. You've got to think outside the box. Yes. But in terms of recruiting people, yes, we have to do a better job. And those are discussions that I'll be having with my friends at AME.
So my guest this morning, Stan Heumann, Legislative Director and Executive Vice President from AME, and Barbara O'Neill, our Director of Operations. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you.
So this morning I want to talk a little bit. You know, we really have an extensive process in AME when we go through endorsements and we try and figure out what candidates are going to be best for the workforce in Suffolk County. And why that's really important to us is them understanding our issues and enacting rules that help the government get its job done. The day-to-day work, the actual implementation of government is AME members, right? You know, it's the public workforce. So finding those right candidates, we have a responsibility to the public at the same time, right? Our responsibility to the membership, but our membership are taxpayers, and they receive the same services they provide. As a general rule, this is a very exhaustive process that we get involved with. And we make our endorsements public every year. And so I'd really like to spend some time talking to the both of you about what that process looks like and everything else. But let's just go into a little history first so everybody understands a little bit about who it is I'm talking with this morning. And Stan, we'll start with you and your role, not only as a vice president, but as the legislative director.
Well, good morning, Dan, and thank you. Appreciate the invite. I'm a civil engineer by trade. I got my education at SUNY at Buffalo. Shout out to the Bisons. I worked 10 years for the private sector before coming to the county. At the county, I was a heavy highway construction inspector for the Department of Public Works. Managed heavy highway construction projects for the better part of my career, 15 years before coming up to AME. And for the last 9 and about a third of a year, we've been up at AME with you. So
yeah.
Thank you.
And listen, you want to talk crash course in the necessary people skills in working in labor. Labor is all about relationships. getting to understand people's points of view, whether it be our members, the public in general, the folks to elected offices, and you know, kind of navigating all the differences in personality. But a real good crash course on that is probably a concrete pour on a bridge. There are going to be, you know, there's a lot of money on the line. There's a lot of interest in getting the job done and what that looks like. And you're there representing the government and making sure that the taxpayer is getting what they're supposed to. And that may look a little different to the contractor.
Absolutely. Well, you know, negotiating multi-million dollar projects with large construction firms gives you a little taste in negotiations.
It sure does.
Absolutely. And it was a wonderful part of my career, something I valued and something I think gave me a great training becoming a union official. And to me, I think it was a great toe dipping, I guess, in that background. And
sure.
It's worked wonderful.
And so, Barbara, again, your director of operations came on with AME not too long ago.
Yeah,
talk to us a little bit about your history and how you landed here.
I think how I landed here would start backwards is, again, you said labor is a world of relationships, and I've spent the past, prior to coming to AME in January, I spent 32-ish years in the state legislature working both for the Assembly, for Peter Abadi there, and in the Senate for Senator Dianne Savino, two of the best friends of labor, and spent most of my time working on primarily on labor, pension, and civil service issues. And that's where I met the wonderful AME members, and we worked on a lot of issues together, and I guess I must have impressed somebody, or you thought I was good and decided to bring me on, and I'm very happy to be here working on the other side of labor, trying to push for the issues that our AME members need.
Yeah, and listen, you know, you're being a little modest in the sense that, you know, every major piece of pension legislation, major labor bills for public employees, you were in vital position all along the way. You know,
oh, yeah.
Getting language together, making sure the conversations were happening, scheduling all the meetings, and being in the room and being part of those discussions and understanding that stuff. So much so, you know, how we came to know you wasn't just in your office in Albany, but it was our involvement in other things that we do where you'd come and you'd speak on behalf of whoever it was you were representing. We knew you to be someone that was very knowledgeable, very passionate, and knew how to get things done.
Yeah, that's. I was happy. It started with 9/11 legislation, worked through our Janus bills where unions were under attack. And in New York State, we took the lead to preserve the protections that that unions have through some changes in our state law.
And
the budget, and the state budget, which people don't even notice all of the labor things that are hidden in the various parts of a state budget that I've spent many hours negotiating and killing many things on behalf of our friends in labor.
Yeah. And listen, we look to other states and we're aware of other states that don't have these protections. And we see how that affects their workforce and how that mm-hmm. affects the goods and services that government provides for its people. To have that happen in New York, to have something change on the federal level, to have such a negative impact on the public employee in the state of New York would have been devastating. It was a smart move for the legislature to come together and, you know, a bunch of bipartisan work to kind of pull this all together and make it so that we could preserve the rights of working people that are working on behalf of the everyday taxpayer. But I want to talk a little bit about the AME process, you know, and again, I'm familiar and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but we have a fairly exhaustive process, whether we're talking about, you know, a town race, we're talking about, you know, the various legislative districts, we're talking about county executive seats, and then we talk about the Senate, we talk about the governor, we talk about comptroller, you know, attorney general. We've got, you know, obviously Assembly. I don't want to lose the Assembly in the mix there. I mean, there's so many big offices with, you know, big responsibilities representing thousands and thousands. And, you know, I mean, again, when we deal with some of these issues across the state, you're talking, you know, probably in the millions of people that are affected by some of this legislation. And it's very important for us to be transparent in our process and to be very thorough in our process. So, Stan, why don't you start us off a little bit with, you know, what would it look like for a legislator to try and screen with us, from any level of government, just to try and get in and screen with us? What would the basic process be so that our listeners can understand, you know, when we announce our endorsements, how did we arrive at these conclusions? So,
well, Dan, again, after 9 1/3 years, I'm proud of where our endorsement process has come, and that's really been under you. The endorsement process truly starts probably at Election Day, when we really start analyzing the legislation and how the legislators – basically do their work, do the business at the legislature, and we are vigilant and we pay attention to how that legislation is conducted over the course of the year, and we grade it, how that affects our members.
So before they run again, we're keeping track of what it is they said they would do. And by the way, sometimes they say these things in writing, and they absolutely are asked questions face-to-face. They face our committee, some tough questions, and we hold them to what they say, and then we track them. Before they come back in the next time, we say, here's your report card, by the way. So, you know, how are we going to get our grades better?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, and really, from our screening process, we screen very early on in the season. I want to say somewhere between early to mid-July is usually when we do our screening process. It's a week process that we make sure that we're seeing every candidate. But per your direction, we started with reaching out to the party chairs to work with them, get their candidates that they're going to be putting forth, and also inviting them to the screening process early so we can see basically where their campaigns or where the committees are heading with their processes.
Yeah, we get to hear their values, and then you can hear those values in their candidates, who's coming with fresh ideas and who's being told what to say. And Barbara, so we start with a whole written questionnaire where we have pointed questions we send out. We get written responses. If you do not respond in writing, you don't get a screening. If you don't screen, you don't get endorsed.
Yeah, there's an extensive background information that the staff do. That, again, it's the scorecard. It's the bios on all of the candidates, whether they're a currently elected official or they're newly running for office. The candidate's questionnaire, which is probably, as somebody who's seen them from the other side as working for an elected official and has to help, I won't say I filled them in, I've helped members with them in many ways. This was it's a very extensive one. I was proud of it. I was proud to have a role in writing that. And also that questionnaire does get vetted through our members.
Yeah.
So before we send it out to the candidates, the members who sit on our PAC review weigh in on that and add their input to it. So questions that are coming from the membership are an important part of this, not just, what staff think or what, the elected official, we think the elected official, it's really member-driven process.
So I remind folks that while government has its experts and they end up being, commissioners, other elected officials and all, that top level of government you think of as decision makers, those are their experts. Well, labor has our experts, and those are the people that do the work, boots on
Absolutely.
The ground. So when we ask questions, we're asking questions not from a management perspective of this, this kind of abstract overview. When you start talking about people as numbers, X amount of people here and X amount of people there, and this is the stuff that we do is very, very granular. In the weeds, those types of conversations. And our experts, like I say, they're members of our committee, and they come in with questions that will have a real impact on the workforce. And why they're asking is not selfishly for the workforce. The workforce is altruistic by nature. They want to provide great services. They want to be proud of their job. They want a sense that they're helping their community. When they complain to us, they're not complaining for themselves. They're complaining because, government can do better, and here's what we need. So we get great questions. We do.
Yeah, and additionally, this was a reapportionment year, so some people's districts may not look exactly like they looked before. So we went and did background on past performance of what happens there and maybe some polling numbers to see where we may want to fall in our various endorsements.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, there's a lot more to it. And Stan, you can speak too. So, after we do all of the written stuff and we do our analysis and we check the report cards and everything else, and now we're gearing up to have these in-person interviews and allow people to come forward, and they can tell us a little bit about themselves and what their speaking points are going to be and the whole nine. But then we start getting into our questions. And these are different than the questions that you have written responses to. These are the ones developed by the committee, and they're usually hard-hitting. But you spend weeks planning this, and the committee comes down when you say, it takes about a week. I mean, it's first thing in the morning till, late at night, every single day, back-to-back. There is a short break for lunch and pretty much everything else is just jam-packed. Tell us about that screening week, what you get to see from the candidates when they come in and interact with our committee and try and kind of make their case.
Yeah, I didn't mean to lessen the process at all. Yeah, to me, the work and effort that goes in. Our PAC committee is made up of experts that are across all divisions of our county. They each have their idiosyncrasies and the issues that we are dealing with and that we want to be addressed. I don't have to tell you, you just have to read the paper and you can see some of the issues that we've had in the last year and that we've had to address. So some of those issues were prevalent in our questionnaire, and we want to hear from the elected or the future elected on how they may consider those issues and if they're going to be, I guess, cognizant and considerate of what our members are facing with, I guess, a shortage on staff, with trying to manage these issues and like you said, bring the services that our residents have come to expect in this county.
Yeah, I think while it is a discussion that you're having with an elected or a candidate, our members seem to be able to realize when they're getting lip service from a candidate and when they're getting true answers. And that's really the benefit of that face-to-face meeting with actual members. And they really are very good at detecting when they are getting a true answer and when they're getting,
you know, fluff,
told what they want to, what it's perceived they want to hear.
Right. And, you know, so another thing that's always resonated with me about this process and the way we do it now. One, we're trying to educate ourselves on the candidates, their issues, and they're all going to come in with, you know, certain pet projects that are really important to them. But they know they're speaking to labor, so they know they have to talk a little bit about labor. They answer the questions, whatever else. But it's also an opportunity for us to educate them and say, you know, well, here's what you think we care about. Here's what we actually care about. And really, you know, kind of help inform them. So when we get behind a candidate, part of our consideration is whether or not they took the time to understand what our issues are. That's why it's so great in Suffolk County. The Suffolk County Legislature, at least, has this, you know, unofficial labor caucus. It's a bunch of people that are legislators that came from the labor movement that understand these issues. And like I say, it doesn't mean that they agree with us on a given issue. They have to consider all sides and everything else. But we save hours of trying to explain what the labor movement's about. All we have to do is go in and say, hey, this is a labor issue. This is what it is. Right away, they get it. Okay, what's your point of view? Okay, here's counterpoint. Let's talk this thing through. And sometimes we get to where we need to. Sometimes we don't get as far as we need to go and know that we just have to continue working on it. But knowing that we have those folks that understand our issue, are willing to make the call, and a lot of times reach out to us in advance and say, hey, this is coming down. And, you know, we need to talk to you guys about this because one of the points of view we want to hear from is you guys. But the ability to educate the incoming elected, whether they've been an elected official and maybe their report card wasn't so great, or if they're coming in new and they don't really have these understandings, I think is very important. But, you know, this year we went even further than we normally do, and we opened part of our process. We did everything we normally do. We realized the county executive race was going to be really important. As you refer to them as the administration, they administer the government. So from a leadership perspective, they're going to take the laws and the rules and the mandates of government and say, here's how we want to do it. Okay, we have to do X. I want it done this way, right? And so it was very important to have somebody, the right fit, the right person. And we said, we don't want there to be any perception that maybe when we spoke to one candidate, they were having a bad day, and we spoke to the other candidate and they had a good day or whatever else. And we said, you know what? The best thing we can do is, one, show people what our process looks like so that they can inform themselves. Because, you know, again, the voters, they tend to get to see a candidate that they already like at an event they were already planning to go to, or they get to see a debate where, you know, it tends to be two people talking about why they don't like the other person. And that's not really what they are going to do. And so we put together this concept and created a forum in which a candidate would come up. They would be asked a bunch of random questions that, you know, people who signed up to attend, anyone from the public or membership anywhere, could have signed up, added a question. And those questions were asked of the candidate. They had their chance to respond. We had some questions from the audience. They had the chance to respond. And then when the next candidate came out, they faced the same questions. They had to respond to them as well. It was a very interesting, it was very public. That's really what we wanted. We wanted, you know, clear, light of day.
Yeah, no, it was an amazing event. I would happen to be sitting next to one of my former assemblyman, Peter Abadi, who has attended many of these events as a candidate and was amazed at the number of people we had in the room. You know, he's spent time at many a debate or a forum and has, like, we're lucky if we get 20 people in the room. And then the local press and whatever the spin is. So this, you know, whatever comes out of that, there were 600 people in that room who heard two candidates talk about their visions. I thought both spoke well. Both were very engaged. Both were very, you know, so it was impressive. And
yeah, it was. I mean, listen, I liked the fact that we were doing this so publicly, because I think it's such an important decision for the voters to make. It's very important for our members to have the best possible option. And we vetted this deeply, but we wanted the public to know as well. And this thing was live broadcast and is still out on YouTube. You know, folks can go and find it and watch the full, you know, hour and change of, you know, and see for themselves. How did each candidate comport themselves? What did they say they were going to do? What did they agree on? What did they disagree on? We thought that was important. But real quick, we're about two-thirds of the way into having this discussion. I wanted to just take a quick break and talk about some of the candidates that we've ultimately landed with in terms of endorsement. You know, you get to hear how exhaustive this process is. But starting at the top of the ticket, a lot of consideration went into this, a lot of work. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about that for quite some time. And ultimately what it came down to is there was someone with the experience that we know knows our workforce, has done work with our workforce before, has a very close familiarity with the inside workings of government and getting things done, and has been around for a long time achieving big things. And that, you know, so the AME endorsed candidate for county executive is Ed Romaine. And then when we get into the legislative districts, in the first district, we have Catherine Kent. The second district, we have Ann Welker. Third district, Jim Mazzarella. Fourth district is Nick Caracappa. In the 5th district, we have Steve Englebright. In the 6th district, we have Chad Lennon. In the 7th district, AME's own chief of staff, Ryan McGarry.
Excellent candidate.
Really
looking forward to seeing him at the
really working
horseshoe.
Hard. Yeah. In the 8th district, we have Anthony Piccirillo. In the 9th district, we have Sam Gonzalez. In the 10th district, we have Trish Bergen. In the 11th district, we have Steve Flodderin. In the 12th district, we have Leslie Kennedy. In the 14th district, we have Kevin McCaffrey. In the 15th district, we have Jason Richburg. In the 16th district, we have Manny Esteban. In the 17th district, it's Tom Donnelly. And in the 18th district, we have Stephanie Bontempi. And I know that's a lot. And, you know, if you're driving and you listen, you say, well, why am
sure
I hearing this list? The reason you're hearing this list is so much work went into this. And these are the people that we think are really going to be able to make a huge difference, starting from the top of the ticket all the way down, have a huge difference in what life in Suffolk County is going to look like next year and for years to come. Great vision, a lot of shared talking points and concerns and priorities, a lot of labor people involved in some of these positions. So, you know, again, making it a little easier for us to talk about workplace issues. So much of people's days are spent on work issues and, you know, you kind of tell yourself, listen, I'm going to go to work and my life's on pause, and then I'm going to go home and then I'm going to resume my life. But half of your day is your work life, and your work life is very much important. As a human being, your work life is very much important, like your home life is very important, and having the protections and being shown the value of what it is you do and feeling like a part of a team and helping your community is very important. These are the people that we think will help us get there.
Yeah, I think it's a good representation. It's both sides of the aisle, a lot of different, you know, varied backgrounds. And for me, doing first time dealing with local government, some really impressive people who really have excellent visions for how they want the county to be, and in particular, how they will work with our workforce at AME and help them help, because the promises that these elected officials make are carried out by the AME members, and they are very aware of that now.
And listen, it is part of our job when they make these promises is to track the elected officials and what they actually do. You know, campaign season, we all know, we hear from people, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. Well, we track that. We pay attention. You know, where were you when the thing you talked about, when that became available, what did you do? Again, I can't emphasize enough, I think, how important that county executive race is. And Stan, why don't you give us a little bit of your take on the candidate forum we had for both county executive candidates? I know you were in the thick of it the whole time, just working behind the scenes, you know, throughout this whole process, many months now, and trying to really come down to a candidate. And we finally arrived at a candidate. And why don't you give us a little bit of your take?
Well, Dan, just what I'm really proud of, I think it's just to your point, it's a further refinement of the whole process of where we have gone. We don't just make our endorsement haphazardly. It's not just a willy-nilly thing that we just throw out there. We take it so seriously that, you know what I mean? We, like, to your point, we screened in July. That's when we first really had the conversations. And I know you've had many conversations with both county executive candidates as to what their vision is, as to what our expectation is. We have many important things on the line. So that was just further focused by the forum, where we were able to bring that to our members. So basically the candidates had an opportunity to speak to our members directly and to the residents of Suffolk County.
Sure, and answer questions directly from them.
So,
which is, I think, is very important. You know, one of the things, and Barbara touched on this already, one of the things that I think you'll find if you actually watch this video, and again, it's an hour and change long, so, you know, bring a snack. But the fact is that you're going to see two really great people with great ideas. And ultimately, how did we arrive where we arrived? You know, and that's because of all the polling we've done in the background. It's all the experience our members have with the particular candidate and what they know about, you know, the history and the ability to get things done. So Ed Romaine really said, you know, you talk about your hopes for the future. Any campaign is talking about your hopes for the future, what will be. And I think, you know, his message really resonated with our membership. That's reflective in some of the poll data that we looked at. And it'll be an interesting race. And you know, we find ourselves in these positions a bunch of times where you meet two excellent people that you think are great and you know they want to help the world, and you're trying to make that decision on who's going to be right and best suited for this office. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of time, a lot of conversation, a lot of data polling. Yeah.
Well, similarly to our allies that we have at the Ledge, Dan, I think Ed is going to be just someone where the conversation is more truncated because we don't have to have that first 45 minutes to 2 hours of where we're coming from. You know what I mean? So
sure.
Just, I think that was essential in, I think, the decision. And again, like, this process started in July, and I hope our members can appreciate how seriously we've taken it, where we're just endorsing right now what coming on the first week in October.
Sure.
Yeah, and it speaks to the power of AME has gained over the past few years, aside from getting both county exec candidates to show up at a forum. But you also had, we sort of had an expanded process this year that towns and village officials who are running wanted to come and sought the AME's endorsement. And I think that's something that's newer this year. We had to create a new questionnaire for them because our workforce doesn't work for them. But
right,
you never know where they'll end up someday. And also, our members live in those communities. So we want great communities for our members, as workers, and also as, you know, residents. So we were really, I was very impressed to see that. And while it took a bit more time for us, it speaks to the power of AME as a political force in this county.
Quality government on any level, I think labor should be concerned about that. So anytime someone's getting involved in public service and wants to ask us to ask them questions and see how that, you know, again, maybe you can look at some of that as a proving ground, you know, future ambitions, and maybe they can move up and do bigger and better things. But I think it's just the heart of labor in general. You know, you have big decision makers coming to labor and saying to labor, hey, we need you in our corner. We need to get things done. Everybody in my district works. You guys work. How can we, you know, how can we have this conversation? Make sure we understand what labor's issues are. I think that's a good thing.
No, Dan, yeah. We've had these conversations all the time. We believe, you know, in that acorns to oaks mentality. You know, we know that good people, we're going to see them along the way, because similar to the construction industry, you
yes.
don't, people fail, you know, but you see the people who are good and you see them often. So you're going to see good people more often.
Yeah, I think you started. It's government and labor are about the business of relationships, and if we can expand our relationships to people who have interest in seeing our vision and what we want to see done in the county and for the workforce, we're happy to sit down and talk with you anytime.
Yeah.
New
this
girl
is,
does good.
This is listen. This is what teamwork is, and that you can't say new girl. You've been around almost as long as Ed Romaine.
probably. You know, yeah, I do have.
One last point on Ed Romaine, and I'm going to go through the list again, and we'll close out here. But this is a candidate who has decades of experience knows all of the players, the new ones, the ones that have been around forever, has helped a lot of people get a lot of things done, knows he can pick up the phone and get in touch with the person to get things done when he needs to. And I think you're going to see great things happen in Suffolk County because of this.
Expedites the conversation.
Yeah, yeah. So, again, we'll just give you the list real quick before we go. For county executive, Ed Romaine. First legislative district, Catherine Kent. Second district, Ann Welker. Third district, Jim Mazzarella. Fourth district, Nick Caracappa. Fifth district, Steve Englebright. Sixth district, Chad Lennon. Seventh district, Ryan McGarry. Eighth district, Anthony Piccirillo. Ninth district, Sam Gonzalez. 10th district, Trish Bergen. 11th district, Steve Flotterin. 12th district, Leslie Kennedy. 14th district, Kevin McCaffrey. 15th district, Jason Richburg. 16th district, Manny Esteban. 17th district, Tom Donnelly. And 18th district, Stephanie Bontempi. I know that's a lot. We'll have all of this stuff available. Again, we put that out on social media. We keep it up on our website. We'll be talking about this, obviously, in the coming weeks leading into Election Day. But again, Barbara O'Neill, AME Director of Operations, Stan Heumann, Legislative Director from AME, also Vice President. I want to thank you both for taking the time.
Thanks for letting me out of the office today.
Thanks, Dan.
And to our listeners, we'll speak to you next week. And one last time, we'd like to play a clip for you from AME's endorsed county executive candidate, Ed Romaine.
The county has a problem hiring employees to staff agencies, and a large reason has to do with low salaries. What is your plan to address this?
Retaining employees and getting new employees is critical. Paying competitive wages is critical. That's a subject for negotiations. And I see Dan Levitt and some of his team in the front there. They're some of the best negotiators out there. And I know we'll be having a lot of discussions because this is a year, 2024, where every county contract is up. And we're going to have to talk about that and talk about having adequate wages. I'm concerned because we want the best and the brightest in our county government. And to do that, we have to be competitive with the private sector. We also live in a strange time. 2, 3, 4 years ago, inflation was 1-2%. Now it's 6-8%. People can't afford to take jobs. I'll give you a perfect example. One of the things I'm a great believer in is we have to redevelop parts of Long Island. We maybe not need new development, but we have to redevelop. One of the big redevelopments of my town was the Sears at Smith Haven Mall. That became a redevelopment for Stony Brook Hospital. And essentially, if you go into that building, it's a hospital without beds. You can get every type of diagnostic test known to God. They did a marvelous job. And I was talking with the president of the hospital, and he said, you know, Ed, we can get people to come. They look at the salary. Other parts of the country, it looks real great. They get here. Then they find out what the cost of living is, what the price of a house is. And they say, wow, we've got to be more inventive. You know what I said to them? I said, I'll tell you what, the Penny's is vacant. I'll convert that to housing. I'll convert that to housing for your hospital staff, for your nurses, for your orderlies, so they have a place to live that's affordable and near their workplace. And in the middle of a mall, so they can shop when they have free time. You've got to think outside the box. Yes. But in terms of recruiting people, yes, we have to do a better job. And those are discussions that I'll be having with my friends at AME.